What's your favourite colour?
Oh, don't ask me that.
They're not listening.
I don't have a favourite colour. I could use, I love them all.
Okay, now I know you're telling the truth. Oh, I love it. It would be easy for people to look at your work and just think, oh, it's, you know, it's just, it's bright, colourful, abstract work. But actually you have there is a story and a theme and a series with your works that you do. And I know you're working on the Insignia series at the moment, and it's for an exhibition you've got with Madame Hunter coming up in Melbourne in March. Yeah. And the series is inspired by Grace Tame and Brittany Higgins, and your kind of own desire to explore the nature of like trauma and recovery and resilience. And they're really big topics. They're really big things in life and things that make us stop and think. Talk to us about the process of having that concept in mind, but then actually pulling the work together. How does that happen?
So it's something I've been thinking about at the back of my mind. I kind of worked on trauma in my honours degree. That was part of my exegesis. So I've come back to it, and it came about because I was really inspired by Grace Tame and Brittany Higgins last year. I just thought, wow, those women are so amazing. They're so strong to get up there on that stage and speak their truth and their story. And I just thought they deserve a badge of honour for that. And so this idea came about. Immediately I thought of military, you know, the military sort of insignias and how they all, there's like a code. It's a code of language, like a coded language, really. I don't understand how it all works with the military, but I just thought this is a starting point for me, and it kind of worked where I was going aesthetically in my practice as well, in terms of refining down to the key elements of shape, colour and form, and just really exploring that in a very non-objective way, not trying to feedback into, say, my heel series or anything like that. It's just about those things and how I could push that into a direction that speaks of particularly of women's experience. And so you see a lot of my works, I use quite feminine colours. Not that I think girls should wear pink and, you know, I'm not into the gendered kind of thing, but there's a femininity to those works as well. And I want them to speak about the strength of that femininity and vulnerability as well. And the resilience that women have. I think we're incredibly strong for our life experiences.
I think that's a really powerful when you talk about the military insignia. Like, yes, my first thoughts are, you know, in the military you're awarded for bravery and courage, and yes,
absolutely,
those are all things those fantastic young women inspire and embody. And yeah, I'm very much looking forward to seeing the rest of the series, because I think it will be something really spectacular.
Thank you. I'm having a lot of fun still exploring it. I feel like it's just something I could keep doing for the next year. So to me, this is not going to be an end point, this Insignia series that I'm launching with Madame Hunter. It's going to be even possibly the start of something I'll do for a long time. Yeah. Really get my teeth into, because I can see how, you know, I mean, I've been working on arrows this morning in my studio, this idea of a point and how a point shows direction and focus and energy. There's so much energy in that arrow point, in the, can't remember, vertice, is it? Or the...
Oh, yeah, it's like the, well, the head.
The ghost, kind of bit. Yeah. I'm not good with the mass terms. But yeah, you know, like I just... It's that kind of subconscious universal language, I think, that's really fascinating as well. So I'm interested in how individual experiences become universal and how we can all relate to those experiences on some level.
You're based in Adelaide. We mentioned that before, but you are, you have an expansive collector network that is Australia-wide and then also globally as well. You know, what is your advice for artists who are based in smaller communities or maybe somewhere where there's not all the galleries? Like, how did you reach out? Oh my God, I can see you slumping your shoulders already.
it's a dreadful thing, Instagram.
I mean, you and I have spoken about this before for 2SER Radio, but it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? I mean,
it is. I think the first thing, really, the first bit of advice I'd have for any artist who's starting out is to be authentic and to push and push and push your practice so you find your own style. I don't know how many times I've seen really imitative works, and I just think keep pushing it. Don't put it out there until you're 100% confident about what your story is with that work. And, of course, there's nothing new in art. We all sort of take bits and pieces from everything. But, yeah, start from a strong point and maybe look at galleries which have similar kind of work to you, or similar in style, so, sort of not so much in style, but similar maybe, you know, if you're in a landscape painter and you paint quite traditional landscapes, don't go to a contemporary art gallery to expect to put them out there. So, research. And Willie, you've helped me with that, of course, too, with your mentoring. So,
oh, thanks, Greta.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it is like Instagram, it is this, you know, wonderful access point to a potentially global audience. But I think you're right. Like, the work is the important part here, and good work, and I think I like to say this with my clients, is good work will be found and followed and loved. And so, is your work good work? Yeah. Are you technically pushing yourself, or are you doing something that people haven't seen before? You know, often when I speak to gallerists, they're like, what stops me is seeing something I haven't seen before. So your point of like people kind of imitating, and I've had another artist say this to me, that, you know, the people who practice through imitation and then post that, that can really dilute the authenticity of their work and therefore actually almost even stall their career. You might get a spike initially because you know, you're producing something that people like, but then where do you move from there if you're just kind of not copying someone else, but where do you go from there if you haven't developed your own practice or style?
You've got to produce work because it's so personal, art making. You've got to produce it from the heart, you know, and you will know when you're making work from the heart. It's a completely different feeling to, you know, copying something or trying out a different technique you've seen an artist do. It's got to feel so authentic inside, and it has to be like that. Because if you've got to believe in your work 100%, because if you don't, no one else will.
No one else will.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. What's your favourite pen brand?
I think they're a Mitsubishi one. Black Fine Nib.
Oh, yeah. That kind of. So do you do that first and then you like put the works on, or you start with the colours?
Okay. With my pencil drawing works, which are colour pencil, yeah. I will gradually, I'll do a larger design, if you like a compositional design with pencil on the paper very lightly, and then I'll gradually just build up areas with colour with my pencils, and then I'll wait for that spark that I was talking about before where I go, oh, I know where it's going now, and then I'll just, once I've got there, it's just free for all. Things change all the time then.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel like when you find that moment, it's almost like the work leads you on. You don't lead the work on.
Yeah. Yeah. I reckon there's a lot of artists that work that way. And then there's the other artists that, you know, they've already know what they're going to produce and they just paint it, every time I do that, it's like my inner rebel goes, piss off, you know, I don't want to do that.
Why are you doing that?
So, yeah, I get all shirty with myself and just, it goes the way it wants to go in the end anyway. So
do you remember the first piece you sold?
My parents are great believers in my work. And I was a teenager and I'd done a lead pencil drawing, very tonal, realistic drawing of a rose. And they sent it up to Adelaide to Kensington Gallery. There's a gallery called Kensington Gallery at that stage. And eventually the lady sold it. I don't know how much she sold it for, but it was sold. In Adelaide's got one of my earliest drawings. But it's funny, Willie, I remember I was five at I think it was a school, maybe a school art show or something at the local kind of show, the farm show that we'd have every year. And I got first prize for this drawing. I did it and I was so excited. I know I got $5, and I just remember that feeling. after it was going, oh my God, I just, you know, like I was just in my heart, I was so excited as a kid and I still remember it.